You will increase your efficiency 20% if you learn to do the tough things first, the ones you don't want to do.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. In this series, Zinn covers it all, from the essence of human happiness,
adding value, showing that you have value,
to the downside of venture capital.
You will not own the company.
And the essence of entrepreneurial discipline.
If you're going to make it a consistent practice of working Saturdays just because you think you've got to work 80 hours a week to be successful, you're just flat out wrong.
Now here's Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO.
This is Ray Zinn of Tough Things First. You can visit me at my website, toughthingsfirst.com. And please get my book, Tough Things First. You can find it on Amazon or any of the other popular book resources. So with me today, I have David Williams, a good friend of mine, and he and I are going to host this podcast. Welcome, David, to Tough Things First podcast.
Well, thank you, Ray. It's so good to be with you and with your audience. Excited about this.
Well, and so are we. And David is a famous author of articles. He's written a book, and you can see him on Forbes. He's written just jillions of articles. So you're quite an author and quite a writer and quite a well-known guy. He's the CEO of a SaaS software company called Fishbowl Inventory. And I'm just so delighted to have David with me today. So David, what's on your mind?
What's on my mind? Well, right now, there's been about 75% of my employees that qualified for stock options. So that's been heavily on my mind. And so if you think it would be worthwhile, I'll share how I give away stock options, which is pretty novel in terms of how people acquire them or become eligible for them.
Sure, let's do it.
You know, just stepping back a little bit, having a private company affords you opportunities that public companies don't in terms of private stock offerings. So I set aside 49% of the company and I have a 100-year plan. I want my grandchildren's children to work there. 49% of the company that will go 29 years and then it will split and go another 20. But what I want to share, which is, I think, unique and for other leaders to consider, this notion, which crosses not only stock options, but crosses all sorts of parts of the company and who the people are and how you work with your people. So to get a stock option, to become eligible with a stock option at my company, Fishbowl, is that they choose at the beginning of the year what two characteristics they want to improve in. We have seven non-negotiable characteristics at our company, from trust to belief to courage to kindness. And they can choose two of those seven that they want to improve in their life. And then at the end of the year, they submit an essay, a report of what they did to demonstrate improvement with those behaviors. They submit that to their direct manager. And then if their manager says, yes, this individual has improved in these areas, then that's passed on up to the executive committee that then it then comes to me for approval. So the point I want to make is that all but three people became eligible this year with pretty outstanding improvements with those characteristics they wanted to change, to be better in. Let's take trust as one. Trust is a big one. And if they've improved that they're more trustworthy or they've demonstrated more trust and they have hard evidence to write down that they have improved in these areas, then they became eligible. And they get stock. They get stock options. And so we've been doing this for now 5 years. And what the beauty of this, Ray, is not only do they get stock options for improving in characteristics that help them become a better individual, every part of their life is improved.
Mm-hmm.
So in my mind, as the leader slash owner of the company, I want my people to become better people. Better people are usually happier. Happy people produce. Happy people rub off on other people and make them more happy.
In fact, that's what I did with my people. I tell them I'm not going to help. I'm not going to make you rich. I mean, that's not my job. Your job is to make yourself rich. But what I want to do is help you become a better person. So I agree with you. It syncs right in with the way I did my company.
Oh, perfect. I love that. Well, we're both pretty unique because most people, they give away stock or have a stock option plan or an ESOP, usually look at hard evidence like output, or do they meet their numbers? Did they do something extraordinarily to help the company? That's the typical approach that most companies or most individuals take when they're considering giving away part of the company. So I'm so happy to hear that we're both on the same page, that we're really in the people business. And this is one way that we demonstrate that we put our money or our stock where our mouths are. It's not just something we say to sound cutesy or to make them believe that we're really in this for them. We really are in this for them.
You know, what's interesting, David, as you mentioned that, because I've been criticized by my board because I'm too employee-centric. As they say, fast to hire and slow to fire. I mean, that's me. I mean, I figure if I've taken the time to hire them, that I owe it to them to help develop them, to help them become a better person and a better employee for the company. And I was kind of criticized for that because I held on to certain people for, in their minds, too long and should have terminated them. But I don't want them to know that. I don't want them to feel that there's that pressure that they have to perform. They should want to do it, not that they have to. And it was that focus that I had, is wanting them to feel their desire. They want to do good. They want to be better, as opposed to, boy, if I don't do it, I'm going to get fired. If I look back at and history of my company, I would say that 95% of all the people that we terminated were RIFT, you know, reduction in force, as opposed to actually firing, because they didn't perform. So thanks, David, and look forward to talking with you again, and we'll discuss this as a sequel on, as you would, about the work and family balance, okay?
Sounds great, Ray, and I'll just put a plug in for the article that I'm writing for your book, about your book, on Forbes.
So, oh, you fantastic.
You can look under David K. Williams at Forbes.com, and stay tuned. I will post the article about Ray's book.
You've been listening to Tough Things First, candid talk with Silicon Valley's longest-serving CEO, Ray Zinn. Drop by the contact page at toughthingsfirst.com for more about the book, more podcasts, and links to Ray's Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages to keep up with Ray Zinn's wisdom daily.